भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम भक्ति रसामृत सिंधु चैप्टर 10 सब्जेक्ट इज सबमिशन इन द स्कंद पुराण देयर इज अ स्टेटमेंट अबाउट सबमिशन ऑन टू द लोटस फीट ऑफ द लॉर्ड. It is said there that those who are sober devotees can offer their submission to Krishna in the following three ways. Samprarthanatmika, very feelingly offering prayers. Dainyavodika, humbly submitting oneself. Lalasamai, desiring some perfectional stage. This desiring some perfectional stage is a spiritual life. In spiritual life, is not sense gratification. When one realizes something of his constitutional relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he understands his original position and wants to be reinstated in this position, either as friend, servant, parent or conjugal lover of Krishna. That is called lalasamai, or very eagerly desiring to go to one's natural position. This lalasamai stage of submission comes in the stage of perfect liberation, which is technically called swarupa siddhi. When the living entity understands by perfect spiritual advancement and revelation his original relationship with the Lord. Om ajnanati mirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yenat तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः. हरे कृष्ण. सो इन दिस पार्ट ऑफ द भक्ति रसामृत सिंधु नाउ रूप गोस्वामी स्पीक्स अबाउट the limbs of devotional service, the 64 items. Now these items become more subtle because some of the items can be offered with our physical senses and feel that we are offering it to Krishna. But now which Rupa Goswami talks about submitting oneself to the Lord, they are almost like prayers. Next item is offering notable prayers. They are called as tava. That is the next limb of devotional service. So submission means vigyapti. And as Prabhupada explains, one of the character of a person who is offering these prayers has to be sober. Sober and at the same time, he has to be humble. Then only he can offer sincere prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada explained, Samprarthanatmika. This is the first one. And Prabhupada defines this as offering our prayers with very feelingly offering. There is a feeling. Because Krishna consciousness means sentiments. If the sentiments are not offered to Krishna, we have to offer these sentiments to something else. In the Mahabharata, when Vidura was speaking to Dhritarashtra, he mentioned that certain activities can be practiced by anybody, like charity. Many people give charity. They may not be actually good people also, but they make a show of giving charity. So anybody can do. We can't make a discrimination between a person, a good and bad. Yajna can be performed by anybody. We see during election also people perform yajna. That doesn't mean that no, they are feeling towards the Lord. Yajna, charity and study of the scriptures. Anybody can study the scriptures. At least make a show of studying the scripture. These are the qualities, or these activities can be exhibited by anybody. But then when we talk about subtle activities like being compassionate, merciful, forgiving and humble, then that is a real test of a devotee. So therefore Rupa Goswami adds these also as one of the 64 items of devotional service. In fact, they are very, very important items. It actually makes us understand what is our level, how sober we are in devotional service. So samprarthanatmika means offering prayers with feeling. And Rupa Goswami quotes from the scriptures. He is praying, the devotee is praying to the Lord, "Oh my dear Lord, just like yuvatinam yatha yuni, yunam cha yuvatha vyatha." Just like we see there is a natural attraction between a young boy and young girl. And Prabhupada explains, there is no formal training required for this kind of attraction. It is natural. So devotee is praying, "Similarly, my dear Lord, I want to be attracted to you, just like there is attraction between young boy and young girl." He is offering these prayers with feeling. And as long as that attraction is not there, because qualification to practice devotional service is that one should have affection for the Lord. And therefore a devotee is praying, "I see this in the material world, so I need the same kind of attraction." Just like Mother Kunti also prays in the Srimad Bhagavatam, "Toime ananya vishaya matir madipate sakrutam ratim udvatam adda ganga yogam udhanvati." She is saying to the Lord that, "My dear Lord, when I see Mother Ganga, how she flows, there is no hindrance. She is constantly flowing towards the ocean without any hindrance." Similarly, Mother Kunti is praying that, "Let my attraction be constantly at your lotus feet." These are the similarities. We can see so many things like that. In the prayers of Kulashekar, he is praying, "My dear Lord, my mind can get into the stem of your lotus feet." Just like the swan, very naturally, whenever it sees the lotus flower, what does it do? It puts its head into the stem of the lotus flower. So similarly, let my mind be attracted to your lotus feet in a similar fashion. So he's offering this prayer with great feeling. And then Rupa Goswami talks about the next one, which is called as Dainya Vodika. Dainya means again humility. Feeling oneself to be so low, and because of that feeling, one naturally can offer such prayers. As long as one feels that I am something, then one cannot submit oneself to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We discuss vigyapti means, just like somebody is applying for a job, and the paper mentions submission, you submit this paper, submission form. As long as that intensity is not there, the person is not prepared, if you want to, you know, submit your form for getting into IIT or IIM, one is not prepared, his submission has no intensity. He just thinks that, "Okay, I may get a lottery." He is not qualified. But when he has prepared so much, and there is a great eagerness, intensity, you know, he does not make any mistake while submitting his form. He is very careful. So similarly here, Rupa Goswami talks about Dainya Bodhika, that he knows his level, where does he stand in devotional service. Where is Krishna? What is his position? What is my position? And because of that, he can offer very, very nice prayers. And the disposition of his mind is, Rupa Goswami himself, when he met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Ramkeli, they came to know, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, that Lord Chaitanya has come to their place. And when they met Mahaprabhu, they offered these prayers, and that is the part of this prayer. Mattulya nasti papatma na aparadhi cha kashchana pariharepi lajjame bhruvine purushottama. So this prayer says, mattulya nasti papatma, my dear Lord, there is no one as sinful as myself. Aparadhi, my offenses are unlimited. There is no one as offender as myself. And therefore, I become so ashamed to present myself in the presence of you. Lajjape parihari. He said, I am ashamed. Brihime purushottama, I cannot speak. So when Rupa and Sanatan Goswami offered these kind of prayers, Dainya Bodhika prayers, Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, on and on they are offering these kind of prayers. They said, we are so sinful that one cannot calculate the immense quantity of our sin. In fact, compared to Jagai and Madai, they were great. They did not perform any sinful activities. That is a difference between the great devotees like Rupa and Sanatan and devotees like us. We demand that I am doing better devotional service. Why not? You are still merciful. Then that is not Dainya Bodhika. That is demanding. When the negative feeling is there of thinking oneself so low, then that attracts the mercy of the Lord. All the prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Narottam Das Thakur Visi, Amara Jivan Sada Paperata, that comes into this category. That Dainya Bodhika. That I am so fallen, that I am contaminated. Therefore I have no reason to come before you. Then what makes them to come before the Lord? Because there is some hope. They understand Krishna's psychology. One time Raghunath Maharaj is explaining, the psychology of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu is that wherever there is greatest low feeling or wherever there is greatest need for mercy, they bestow their mercy. So when somebody is presenting like that, Rupa and Sanatana, when they presented their consciousness that we are so fallen and low, and they presented one of these prayers. By seeing that, it is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu was telling them, stop it. It breaks my heart to hear your prayers. When it melts the heart of the Lord by such prayer, then we can understand it also melts our heart. That is Dainya Bodhika prayer. And Srila Prabhupada explains, when a devotee of the Lord, when he offers such prayers, Krishna excuses such a devotee. One can perform sinful activities. Prabhupada explains, being attracted to material nature in this world is not very astonishing, because we are living in the material world. Practicing devotional service in the material realm is not a very easy job. It's a very difficult job. So when somebody submits that, yes, I am fallen and low, but I need your mercy, and somebody goes and begs Krishna, then seeing their sincerity, Krishna offers his love and affection. Sometimes it is said that pride of one's purity is the greatest contamination. I am so pure. We see sometimes in India, so-called smarthas, they may have all the rules and regulations, they may follow very strict rules and regulation of taking bath thrice a day, performing their sandhya, not allowing any contamination to come to them. They don't even drink even water in the house of those who are not born in high family. So they are very proud of their purity. But if that creates pride in the heart, that is the greatest contamination. But a devotee of the Lord, one is sincere devotee, he understands his fallen position, and with that intensity when he prays to Krishna, Prabhupada explains, Krishna forgives the all offenses of his devotee, he excuses the devotee. So therefore this is a very important prayer, Dainya Bodhika prayer. And then Dainya Bodhika prayer involves seeing one's bad quality. And sometimes a practitioner, when he sees too much of his bad qualities, does not see the positive, what is expected if he continues to practice devotional service. Then that negative consciousness makes him lose hope in the process of devotional service. Oh, I am so fallen that I cannot make it. Better stop chanting Hare Krishna. What is the use? Because I am so fallen that however much I try, I can't make it. So better continue to be materialistic. Therefore, Rupa Goswami, when they are offering these prayers, that we are so fallen, there is no hope for us. But then why did they come to Lord Chaitanya? They also mention it. So some other way have developed this hope, just like a dwarf trying to catch a moon. What is the scope that the dwarf can catch a moon? There is no scope. But still hearing about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, they said that even though that we know that we cannot make it, but hearing the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we have developed this desire that we will attain your mercy. So the next prayer Rupa Goswami talks about Lalasa Mayi. And this is the one of the character of a devotee, especially an advanced devotee. What is his character? That even though he sees that there is no hope, even in that hopeless condition, he finds some hope. We have discussed this before also. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that even if Krishna comes and tells a practicing devotee that look, that you can never make to my abode, you will never come back to the spiritual world. You are so fallen, you are so low, I make a stamp, certificate that you will not attend me. Just give up devotional service. If Krishna comes and tells us what will happen, many times we think of giving up. If Krishna is telling that you can't do it, then we say, okay, then the Lord himself is saying, I cannot. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that this principle of hope against hope is that even if Krishna says like that, still I will continue to practice devotional service. And Prabhupada explains that Lalsamayi is of course, the Lalsamayi Prarthana begins at the stage of Bhava Bhakti. We have discussed this. There are three levels of devotional service. One is devotional service in practice, devotional service in ecstasy, and devotional service in love. So Lalsamayi means where you actually aspire for some kind of perfection, wanting to be friend of Krishna, wanting to be parent of Krishna, wanting to be servant of Krishna, asking for some specific service. And Rupa Goswami quotes Narad Muni. Narad Muni is saying in the Narada Pancharatra that my dear Lord, I am eagerly waiting with the chamara fan in my hand to hear from you in a grave voice that Narada, you come and offer chamara to me. I am eagerly waiting to perform that service. That means there is a specific desire to perform specific service. And then another prayer is offered. Narada Muni is offering prayers to the Lord. But my dear Lord, I'm continuously chanting and trying to attain your lotus feet who is performing his pastime on the bank of Jamuna with the tears in my eyes. And Srila Prabhupada explains that this is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us. Feeling the separation of the Lord, Nayanam Galadashru Dharaya, Vadanam Gadgadaya, Gadgadarudaya Gira. But my dear Lord, that I am eagerly awaiting for your mercy. When will I actually get attracted to you and perform devotional service to you? And Prabhupada says one should learn this small technique of crying for Krishna. Unless one learns the technique of crying for Krishna, it is difficult to actually feel that I want Krishna. That is called as lavlyam. And without this greed, unless one has the greed, just like there is a story, one aspiring candidate, he came to the teacher and he said, my dear teacher, I want to know about God, I want to know about spirituality, so can you give me some solution where I can attain God and understand about God? And the teacher told him, go and take bath in the Ganga. And the student came, he dipped himself. As he dipped himself in the water, the teacher grabbed his shikha and he pulled him inside the water for a long time. He was not allowing him to come up. And the student could not scream also, because how can he scream inside the water? You can't breathe also. He was only shaking his body. And when the teacher realized that he is about to suffocate and die, he just pulled him out. And he asked him, what were you thinking when you were losing your breath? He said, nothing but gaining my breath back. And the teacher said, when you become as intense as that to understand and realize God, then you come back to me. So therefore Prabhupada explains, unless that greed and lavlyam is there. Just few days back Niranjan Maharaj was explaining the difference between seeker and a wise man. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains four kinds of people surrender to Krishna. Chaturvidha bhajante mam janasu krutuna arjuna arto jigyasu artarti jnani cha bharatarshava. One is in distress, he comes to Krishna. One wants wealth, he will come to Krishna. One has some inquisitiveness, oh, I want to know about this creation, I want to know about God, he will also come. And the fourth one is wise, he has known about God. And Prabhupada explains, those who know about God, they already have some inclination to study the Shastra, they are better candidates to practice devotional service. Because sometimes a seeker has got all, you know, he wants to know about everything. Not necessarily it is concentrated about only God. Seeker means is inquisitive. So sometimes we come to devotional service with what? Well, let me try how devotional service works. I'm not going to put all my heart. In fact, when we put our heart, people are there to teach us. No, don't be so intense in your devotional service. But to understand Krishna, to understand Krishna consciousness, to understand Krishna's love, Rupa Goswami says, unless there is lavalyam, unless there is greed, you cannot experience Krishna. So the whole process of Krishna consciousness is trying to develop that greed. If we remain superficial, then the taste will not come. Therefore, when first time, when one devotee, he joined Srila Prabhupada's mission, he was practicing Krishna consciousness and suddenly decided to leave. And everybody was shocked. How could you leave devotional service? Just Prabhupada's small movement, it was about to grow, and suddenly one of the members, he leaves Krishna consciousness. All younger devotees were shocked. And they were expressing their surprise in the presence of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada made this point. He said, don't be surprised if somebody lives. Be surprised if somebody stays practicing devotional service. Why? Because unless we develop that greed, for Krishna, the faculty of lavalyam will be diverted to something else. So therefore the whole process of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says, one has to learn this art of crying for Krishna. He says it's a small technique. And when we learn that art of crying for Krishna, then the desire to attain certain, some kind of perfection. Yes, my goal is to go back to the spiritual world. When that becomes the goal, when we keep that goal focused, then we are willing to give up all other relative goals, which will divert our attention from the real goal of attaining Krishna. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says that Krishna bhakti cannot be attained by pious activities. How can we attain Krishna bhakti? He says only if there is a greed. He said if Krishna bhakti is available in some shop, immediately buy it, because it is not available. But if it is available, then immediately buy it for whatever price. And what is the price? The price is greed. Just like that boy who was suffocated in the water, he was thinking nothing but breath. He said, only when you have that kind of intensity, then you come back. So one might say that, but we don't have that intensity. So what is our hope? So therefore, the process of Krishna consciousness is to develop that greed. If we continue to practice offering prayers as prescribed by Rupa Goswami, in many places Prabhupada writes, offering prayers are very, very important. In the Bhagavatam there are hundreds of prayers. In Gautamya Tantra there are prayers. So we just come in the presence of the Lord and offer prayers with feeling. Learn the art of developing feeling. One time one devotee wrote to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, is it okay when we are chanting Hare Krishna, when we are dancing in the kirtan, we are crying tears? And Prabhupada said, yes, you can do it amongst devotees. Don't do it in public, but amongst devotees you can do, because it is very important that you learn the art of crying for Krishna. And that requires being sober. Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita also, that a devotee who is sober, he said the way of controlling mind is that one should learn the art of becoming sober in devotional service, becoming introvert. And that helps us to offer proper prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, even the Bhagavad Gita contains all this kind of prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Next, Rupa Goswami speaks about offering notable prayers. They are called as Stava Patha. Again, there is not much difference between submission and prayers. Prayers are general and submission is in a specific. Like Rupa Goswami gave these three steps. One is offering prayers with feeling. Just like let there be attraction as Ganges water or young girl is attracted to young boy. Dainya Bodhika means with humility. And Lalasama means with some specific perfection. And notable prayers, Rupa Goswami explains that anyone who can offer prayers to Krishna by coming in the presence of the Lord, such person becomes worshipable even by the demigods, Siddhas and Gandharvas. And Prabhupada explains some less intelligent people, they go to demigods asking for some material benediction. But here we see that the demigod themselves, if somebody is offering prayers to Krishna, such demigod they respect a devotee is offering prayers. So when somebody comes and offers prayers to Krishna, he becomes respected by the demigods. And our acharyas give difference between stava and stotra. In the Srila Prabhupada explains, the Bhagavad Gita is a stava. It is called a stava raj. It is compiled with so many prayers. And specifically in the 11th chapter, when Arjuna, when he saw the universal form of the Lord, spontaneous prayers were coming from his heart. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that stotra means hymns composed by the previous acharyas. We come with the prayers offered by the previous acharyas and just repeat them as it is. And stava means these are just outpour of our consciousness. Naturally we compile within our heart and offer it to the Lord. Just like when Shripad Madhvacharya received the DT in Udupi, out of love for the Lord, naturally compiled instantly the stotras in the praise of the Lord. Instantly compiled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Shikshastakam, it is explained, they are like volcano eruption. It is not that Mahaprabhu is sad and he was thinking, sometime poets, you know, they have to, like about one Western poet is mentioned, that he would compile when he was drunk and he would edit when he was sober. This kind of prayers have no value. That you think, you know, how to compile, how to impress people. But prayers offered by the great acharya, they just come from their heart. When Arjuna, when he saw that universal form, when he offered the prayers. And in the first canto of Bhagavatam also, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was waiting Arjuna's arrival, Arjuna had gone to Dwarka with Krishna, and Yudhishthira saw that Arjuna has not come back. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was seeing all kind of ill omen. And he was thinking, what happened? Why Arjuna has not come back? And when Arjuna came back, he saw Arjuna had a pale face. He had lost his luster. He was not looking the way the Kshatriyas look. And Yudhishthira Maharaj inquired from Arjuna many, many questions. He said, are the Yadavas well? How is Yugurasen is doing? How Balram is doing? How Krishna is doing? And then he started asking, why there is such a despondency in your face? And ultimately he had to ask this question, is it that your dearmost Lord, Keshchit Preshtatame Natma, Hrudayana Atma Banduna? Is it that your dear Lord has gone back to the spiritual world? And Arjuna could not control tears. He started crying. And somebody restrained himself and he said yes to Yudhishthira Maharaj. He said, Vanchito Maharaja Harina Bandhu Rupina. He said, yes, my dear Yudhishthira Maharaj, that we have become bereft of the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has gone back to the spiritual world. And then Arjun just spoke so many prayers in the praise of the Lord, his association. These are called as tava. He didn't think there, okay, now I'm going to compile. Not that when he was coming from Dwarka to Yudhishthira, he was thinking what kind of prayers I should offer. They spontaneously came from the mouth of Arjun. They were not created in the head. They were created in the heart. So that is called as stava. And when we repeat those prayers, those are called as stotra. And Prabhupada explains in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the episode of Gajendra. Gajendra, in the association of his spiritual master, had learned so many prayers as a king, Indradyumna. And he was cursed by a sage because he did not acknowledge the appearance of the sage. Therefore, he cursed that he become a dull-headed elephant. But when he became an elephant, still because he had learned the prayers in the most dire situation, when he needed the most the help of the Lord, naturally these prayers came into the, came to his heart. He remembered those prayers. And he spontaneously offered these prayers to the Lord. And then Prabhupada writes, one should learn the prayers mentioned in the Shastras and actually come to our rescue at the right time. Just like one devotee was mentioning, that one devotee used to come to one college program, and then he was practicing devotional service, he was chanting Hare Krishna mantra. And after some time, when he was not in the association of devotees, he completed his education, he started working, and he had no association. Slowly, slowly, he started losing all connection with the process of Krishna consciousness. He stopped chanting Hare Krishna. One day, he met in an accident. He fell from the scooter and he went to coma. He was unconscious. But in that unconscious stage, yes, externally one may see that one is unconscious. But internally one is very much conscious. So in that internal consciousness, even though all other senses stopped working, the doctors told him afterwards, when he came back to his consciousness, when he got all of his memory, the doctors told, actually he lost everything. You could not recognize yourself, but only one thing was that you are chanting this mantra, something Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So just see, the learning of chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra came to his rescue when he is about to give up his body. So to be conscious of Krishna, one has to be unconscious. And to be materialistic, one has to be conscious. That's easy devotional service to practice. We forget Krishna not because, Krishna consciousness is difficult to practice. We forget Krishna because we culture the consciousness of forgetting Krishna. We take great endeavor to forget Krishna. But to remember Krishna is very easy. And this is a proof. This boy, when he had practiced chanting Hare Krishna, and he consciously stopped chanting Hare Krishna. He knew that I am reducing the rounds. From 16 it became 12. From 12 it became 10. It became 8. And slowly, now I will chant afterwards. So he consciously gave up chanting Hare Krishna. But when he was physically unconscious, then he remembered only about Krishna. Nothing else but Krishna. So similarly, Indradyumna Maharaj, as an elephant, he had an elephant body. Elephant body, it is explained, Gajendra prayers, offers prayers to the Lord. The body of an elephant is, it is ignorance from outside and ignorance from inside. That's very bad. So where is the facility for remembering you? There is no question of remembering you when there is ignorance from inside and ignorance from outside. Somebody is too intoxicated, he has taken a lot of drugs. He is not aware of his own existence. How can he remember God? It is not possible. He cannot remember himself. Yesterday one devotee was joking. He said, I am such a crazy man, I forget my own name also. So the point is, if one remembers the prayers, one learns the art of reciting the prayers, in the dire situation, just like Gajendra, he spontaneously remembered the prayers and offered those lotus flower to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that became cause of his rescue. The Lord came down. How did Krishna come? It is explained by the Acharya when Gajendra is offering prayers to the Lord. Krishna's Lord Narayan was in the Vaikuntha planet. He told his Garuda that just take me to this place, I want to save my devotee. And Garuda is such a powerful airline. But Krishna saw that Garuda's speed is not so great. So Krishna jumped off the Garuda and he was going faster than Garuda. He reached first, then Garuda came there. That is the intensity of the Lord to save his devotee when somebody offers prayers. Therefore Hare Krishna mantra is also a stava. And then other prayers which are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Chaitanya Charitamrit. And this even Rupa Goswami offered these prayers, Mahaprabhu became intensely attached to Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. Therefore Prabhupada recommends that one should offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then anyone who offers prayers in the presence of the Lord, then he is immediately released of all the sins and is made fit candidate to enter into the spiritual abode. This is from the Narsingha Puran. And then Rupa Goswami speaks about partaking prasad, drinking charanamrit, accepting the flower garland which is offered to the deities and touching the deity. And Prabhupada writes very nice purport in that. That touching deity is not allowed for everyone. Because today only Gaur Gopalpa was saying that one need not to actually have the Lord directly present to experience the presence of the Lord. But still this is one of the limbs of devotional service, that one is allowed to touch the lotus feet of the Lord. And Prabhupada writes, it is not that touching of the Lord is allowed for anyone and everyone. If somebody is contaminated, then he cannot touch the Lord. So Mahatma Gandhi started this movement, Prabhupada writes, the movement of, you know, everybody is children of God. That is also accepted, that is right. But then without proper purity, one should not touch the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When there is a proper purity, even if somebody is born in a low family, he can come and worship the Lord. There is no such restriction. And then again, sometimes people want to see the Lord. We see sometimes, you know, even devotees, every year when we go for yatra, these announcements are made. That allow the senior devotees, Prabhupada disciples to see the Lord, let them take darshan first. And when we offend the senior devotees and see the Lord, we are not seeing the Lord, we are seeing our own false ego. Today Gaur Gopalpa was mentioning in the morning, one rich man, he came to the temple, and he directly went in the presence of the Lord. And he was seeing the form of the Lord. After he finished seeing the Lord's form, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati called him. And he said, okay, now your massage is over, the eye massage is over. Now you have a body massage, but by seeing the Lord, you are massaging your own eyes. That means, rather than giving gratification to the Lord, you are gratifying your own senses and feeling pleasure about it. We see Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they never ever entered inside the Jagannath temple, even though nobody stopped them. Nobody knew that officially that they were barred from the Hindu community. They were born in a high class Brahmin family, but still because they felt that we are so fallen that we cannot see the Lord, they never entered inside the temple of Lord Jagannath. In fact, they would not even go close to the servitors of Lord Jagannath. And by this kind of humility, they conquered the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, the Lord Himself would come to them and they could touch the feet of the Lord. They could take remnants of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. and those who are qualified by the mercy of the spiritual master, then they are allowed to touch the Lord. They can trust the Lord, they can touch the lotus feet of the Lord. That is also one of the limbs of devotional service. And the next chapter, the 10th chapter, Rupa Goswami talks about the techniques of hearing and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This chapter has four things. One is Shravanam, and expecting Lord's mercy, remembrance and meditation. And Rupa Goswami explains, there are three kinds of Shravanam. One is Nama Shravan, one is Charita Shravan, and third is Guna Shravan. In the Nama Shravan, Rupa Goswami explains that just like a person is bitten by a snake, especially when a cobra snake is bitten, it is not that a person immediately dies. He goes into a comatose situation. And then slowly, slowly, he is about to face death, he is about to die. And in that condition, if someone comes and start reciting certain mantras, and then again he can revive his life back. Srila Prabhupada was explaining, we were listening to the lecture recently. Some Bengali students came, you know, they said, what is this? This is all mantra nonsense. They came to one snake charmer. And when the snake charmer came, you know, when he saw the students were skeptical, he started chanting some mantras. And the snakes were moving all around the students, back and forth, and the students became very fearful. And that person said, don't worry, I have actually charmed them by mantra, they will not do any harm. As long as my mantra is there, they will not do any harm to you. And they had to believe it, because they were very close to the snakes. So Prabhupada explains, similarly, one is affected by the material concern, and his material concern has made one almost dead. So in this condition, just like if the snake bite, which makes one go unconscious, and if somebody chants the mantra, one can revive his life. Similarly, by chanting the names of the Lord and by hearing the names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. One can actually revive one's consciousness. One can become alive by chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, by hearing the Hare Krishna mantra. Again, the same example. In even unconscious stage, he was almost like dead. He lost his memory, the student. But spontaneously the Hare Krishna mantra came. In fact, yes, one may say the doctor revived him. Yes, on a physical level they must have. But on the spiritual and on the mental level, the Hare Krishna mantra revived him. And Prabhupada explains, and our other acharyas also explains, that when we remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of His name, especially at the time of death, like one devotee was mentioning, that they met in a car accident, and you know, she was a lady devotee and she could not chant also. Her throat appeared to be caught up. You know, she was not able to chant, but she wanted to chant Hare Krishna. She could not speak. And by the grace of the Lord, she saw something like a neon sign. And the Hare Krishna mantra was, you know, coming back and forth. Hare Krishna, Hare. You see this big, you know, lit up lights with a neon sign. So one who has that intense desire and one who has practiced chanting Hare Krishna, then what happens? He actually can remember Krishna at the time of death. So Naam Kirtan is so important that it revives our Krishna consciousness. Our dead consciousness becomes revived by hearing about Krishna, by chanting the names of the Lord. Therefore, continuous chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is important. One of our resident devotees, he chants more than 16 rounds, and he never tells how many rounds he chants. Nobody is able to actually ask him how many rounds he chants. He gave a very nice example. He said, just like there is a net practice, those who are playing sports in the cricket. The person is playing cricket in the net practice. What is the intention of playing in the net practice? So that when there is a real match, he can play properly. Similarly, you are saying that continuous chanting more than 16 rounds is like a net practice, because you are supposed to play a real game when the death comes. So if you have a good net practice of chanting Hare Krishna all the time, then you are supposed to play a real match when you have to face a googly, then you can play it properly. So that is the point, that when you chant Naam Kirtan, as Rupa Goswami explains, then our dead consciousness is revived by this Mahamantra. And the next Rupa Goswami talks about Charita Shravan. In the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Narad Muni was speaking to King Prachinibhari, he explained that one who continuously hears about Krishna's pastimes in the association of devotees, or in fact he seeks the association of devotees and he gives oral reception to Krishna's charit, then what happens? One can actually experience, one is freed from the lamentation, one is freed from the illusion, and one is freed from the desire to drink and eat also. And just to give this confidence, in the 10th canto, when Sukadeva Goswami is about to start the pastimes of Lord Krishna, again it is explained that a speaker is only enlivened based upon the audience. If the audience are not enlivened, then the classes are short. If the audience are enlivened, then the speaker can speak longer. He is getting his strength not from himself, he is getting his strength from the people who are listening to him. So to make this very clear to Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj, in the very beginning, when he wanted to hear about Krishna, he said, "My dear spiritual master, do not compromise or do not condense the pastimes of the Lord. Don't tell the pastimes of the Lord in small way. You elaborately explain the pastimes of the Krishna. Why? Because I am not affected by hunger, thirst and sleep. You go on speaking about Krishna as long as you want and I am ready to hear as long as you know you speak." So therefore, when you actually sit and hear about Krishna, that is a natural character. Who was saying? Braj Bihari Prabhu was saying in Vrindavan that some Gurukulis came to hear Krishna. They came to one day yatra, and usually young children, their concentration is very less. They can't stand for long time. They can't sit for long time. But when the Krishna Katha started, the narrator was speaking so nicely. So then they sat for 3 hours, and they didn't realize also they were sitting for 3 hours. That means one forgets when he hears about Krishna's pastime. Prabhupada in New Vrindavan, we have heard this story so many times. Late night, 12 o'clock, when everybody is about to sleep, everybody was fasting during Janmashtami, and he went on asking his devotees to read Krishna's pastime, chapter after chapter. Why? Because the absorption was there. And this is the art. One who cultivates this art by regularly hearing about Krishna, slowly, he can see that he is able to hear for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. There is no limit how long he can hear. And that is what Rupa Goswami quotes. And when he hears about Krishna in the association of devotees, then he completely forgets about all the material necessities, material requirements. And the next Rupa Goswami talks about, Srila Prabhupada explains that this hearing is recommended in this age of Kali. No other process can work. Only the process of hearing will work. And Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam purport that this is the occupation in this age of Kali. What is that? Chanting, hearing, glorifying and worshipping. These are the occupation of everyone. And even an ordinary insignificant person becomes significant by the newspaper propaganda. Just like an ordinary film actor and actress, according to Vedic society, they are not considered as very high, but just because the newspaper propaganda, people build temple for them and they appoint brahmanas and have 6 time worship Six time bhoga, there is Mangalarti, there is Rajbhog, there is Sandhyabhog, all the bhogas are offered. Just imagine, that means insignificant person. Prabhupada writes, but it does not do good to that person who is being worshipped and those who are worshipper. Therefore, when hearing and glorification is directed towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gets benefit? Of course, Krishna does not get benefit. He is the supreme benefactor of all the living entities. By glorifying Krishna, we become benefited. So therefore, this is the recommended process. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in Jagannath Puri, when he would come and meet Gadadhar Pandit, what he would do? He would hear continuously the pastimes of Prahlad and Dhruva Maharaj, not one time or twice, hundreds of times. Again and again, again and again. Gadadhar Pandit would speak and Mahaprabhu would hear. And he expects the followers that also to practice this art. And Srila Prabhupada explains that the speech between Arjuna and Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra may apparently appear between it like a friendly talk between two friends. But it is not like that. It is a nectar flow. And when this nectar flows from the mouth of the Lord and when it entered inside the ears of Arjuna, that nectar gave immortality to his life. And we were discussing about Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that 40-minute speech of Krishna, which he spoke on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, is still creating a revolution in the misdirected civilization. Krishna only spoke for 40 minutes and still it is creating a revolution. So therefore, hearing is so important about Krishna. And then Guna Shravana, hearing about the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada explains, if you know about your friend who is so great, about his qualities, if you do not know about the greatness of your friend, even though you may have the friendship, you may not actually understand and take him for granted. Just like Arjuna was taking Krishna for granted, of course this is the pastime between Krishna and Arjuna. But when Arjuna saw Krishna's universal form, before that Krishna spoke about how he is pervaded in the entire creation, spiritual and material. How everywhere, it is overwhelming reality, the presence of the Supreme Personality of God. When Krishna heard that, when you know that your friend is so great, it is natural that one will respect. So therefore by Guna Shravan, by hearing about Krishna's attributes, Krishna's qualities, it is but natural that one will attract great affinity and affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore Rupa Goswami recommends one should hear. So these three kinds of hearing mentioned in the Shastra. And next is, again, a very important principle, one of the 64 items. And this is the test of aspiring and practicing devotee. Usually when we come to Krishna consciousness, we expect immediate change in our heart. Immediately I want to be a pure devotee. Rupa Goswami has again given this principle, Utsad Nishchaya Dhairya. One may practice devotional service with great enthusiasm, but if the patience is not there, then a devotional service of such person is like, you know, chonk in the frying pan. When we are giving chonk in the dal or for sabji in a small pan, when the oil is hot or ghee is hot, then you add some cumin seeds, immediately there is a fire. But how long that fire lasts? Only for a few seconds. So similarly, if our enthusiasm is like that, we come to the temple, immediately there is a tilak, there is six kantimalas, chanting more than 16 rounds, expecting that tomorrow only I will become devotee, I will see Krishna face to face. Such enthusiasm without patience will lead one to give up one's faith in the practice of devotional service. So Rupa Goswami gives this. Enthusiasm without patience is too much demand and false ego. And patience without enthusiasm is laziness. So therefore this combination is there. That enthusiasm, but at the same time patience. But patience with enthusiasm. When this combination is there, then our devotional service is very scientific. So this principle Rupa Goswami explains by quoting the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahmaji's prayer, that one should expect the mercy of the Lord. Tat kripa ikshanam, tattenu kampa susamikshamana, bhunjana evatma kritam vipagam. That Brahmaji is offering prayers to the Lord, that my dear Lord, whatever consequences, either good or bad, which happen in my life, I will accept them as your mercy. This is one principle. And while accepting this on our attitude, on our mental level, the second one is that one should offer obeisances to the Lord with one's mind, with one's body, and with one's words. Kaya, vacha, manasa. When one practices two principles in one principle, then one becomes qualified to receive the mercy of the Lord. Sadhaiva bhak. Just like a son naturally inherits the property of his father, he just has to wait, not fight with his father. If you fight with your father, then you lose. But if you just wait, then you get everything. So Brahmaji is teaching us the art. So similarly, if somebody is practicing devotional service and he expects immediate relief from all the material miseries, that means he is not very advanced in understanding of Krishna consciousness. We have this material body, that means there will be suffering. Practicing Krishna consciousness does not guarantee that one will be freed from all kinds of suffering immediately. Sometimes people say, oh, if I come to Krishna consciousness, my suffering may increase. No, it is not suffering increase, that is greater purification. But rather than seeing it as a purification, if sees as a suffering has increased, then it is not very advanced. So Rupa Goswami Prabhupada explains, one has to take like this, that because of my conditioned life, I am going to receive all this reaction. And if he continues to accept that as the mercy of the Lord, then only can advance. That is the test of one's faith. While living in this world, naturally we are going to face so many difficulties. And that doesn't solve by coming to devotional service also. Therefore, what was the first word Krishna spoke to Arjun when he started giving advice to Arjun? Before he told, okay, why should I speak to you? Why are you lamenting? Krishna was only reacting for Arjuna's behavior. But when Arjuna said, Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava prachamitam dharma sammudo cheta, my dear Lord, I accept you as my spiritual master, please instruct me. And what did Krishna say? He said, don't expect after I speak to you that you will be freed from the suffering. That will come anyway. What do you have to do? Matra sparshastu kauntaya shitoshna sukha dukkada. That is the difference between Krishna's advice and any fake sadhu's advice. If a fake sadhu gives us advice, if you practice spirituality, then you'll become happy in this world, you'll get lot of wealth, you'll become peaceful, you'll have no more disease. That means he's cheating the practitioner of devotional service. Krishna did not tell this to Arjun. Your situation will not change. You still have to fight your relatives. You still have to face your relatives. What will happen? Your attitude will change. You will learn the art of tolerating all the difficulties with proper attitude, with proper consciousness. So therefore, while practicing devotional service, as a practitioner, when we receive greater suffering, it is not that because we have come to devotional service, therefore we are experiencing great suffering. In fact, one can see them as Krishna is purifying me with greater intensity than other people. If the suffering is great, that means the purification is great. Just like Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, you know, suddenly developed this disease. How does he take it? It's quite amazing. He is teaching us the lesson. You know, he always wanted to give up his life. He said, I want to go back. But because devotees were insisting, then no, you should try to take medicine, you try to take, you know, some kind of treatment so that you can stay more to serve devotees. And how does he take? He takes that as a greater purification of the Lord. In fact, he had written the letter to Srila Prabhupada that whatever contamination is there, Krishna, please purify, and whatever it takes to purify my contamination, you do that with me. And when somebody prays intensely like that, one has to be very careful that Krishna actually does like that. Krishna will do like that. When we intensely pray, then Krishna will actually put us in that situation. So therefore here, Rupa Goswami is explaining that awaiting the mercy of the Lord is an important character of a devotee. He does not give up his faith in the Lord. He waits. I will be purified. All my contamination will go away. And he continues to practice devotional service. And at one point of time, Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam, just like there is illumination and thunder in the sky. They both happen almost together. Not together, but almost together. There is lightning and thunder. Then, similarly, Krishna, he removes all our contaminations. And we can experience the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is a very important principle. Again, this is one of the 64 items of the devotional service. There is no physical offering or there is no physical receiving of something. It is the simply waiting for Krishna's mercy to reveal within our heart while experiencing pleasure or pain of this material world. We see even the materialistic people, we have discussed this many times when the great freedom fighters, they were fighting for the cause of India's independence. Now they actually created a spirit among their followers. They would say that we will not offer you anything. Mahatma Gandhi told them, he said, don't expect that we'll offer you tea. You can only get some water from the Jamuna or Ganga. Nothing else. Another freedom fighter said, when you work for us, when you work for your country, what will you gain? Hunger, thirst and death. If a materialistic person is willing to give up his life for what? For just insignificant independence. He is willing to be hungry, thirsty and is willing to offer his life. When we were young, we used to read the stories that 16-year-old boys, you know, while they are going on that rope to be hanged by the Britishers, there was no fear in their heart. They would feel that my life is perfected now. What is the perfection of life? That I have fought against them and I am being killed by them, and that is the sacrifice. And they would chant, Inkalab, that means we are, you know, giving our life for our country. So if somebody can do this for their country, how much more we should be waiting for Krishna's mercy? Krishna's mercy might take billions of lifetime or might take immediately. And when he waits for it, he is the only fit candidate according to Brahmaji. That is willing to wait. Sadaya Bhag. And then he gets the inheritance of Krishna's love in the form of devotional service. Next, Rupa Goswami speaks about remembrance. A remembrance has two forms. One is remembrance and one is dhyan. Jiva Goswami explains, remembrance means general and dhyan means very specific. Specifically thinking about some service of Krishna, thinking about Krishna's pastimes, thinking about Krishna's qualities and thinking about Krishna's form. These are the four kinds of dhyan. Rupa Goswami explains about remembrance. Prabhupada explained the definition of remembrance. Some or other, if someone establishes his mind in continuous relationship with Krishna, this relationship is called as remembrance. One time one young man came to a teacher who had just come to a village. And this student was agnostic and arrogant. He said, if you do not show me God, I will kick you out of this village tomorrow. Show me God immediately, within tomorrow. And the saint was very serene, very peaceful. He opened his eyes. He said, you want to see God? Okay, I'll have some system for you to see God. You have to wait for 1 week. I'll show you God. But you also have to practice some discipline. He said, I don't mind. What is the discipline? He said, you come back after 1 week. And don't ever remember chimpanzees, black apes. So that is the rule for it. So that's easy. And who? I said, I've never seen chimpanzees. I've never seen in the pictures also. I never saw them. So there is no question of remembering them. The student went back. And after 1 week when he came back, he was not arrogant as he had come in the first place. He was quite humble. And he told the sage, he said, "My dear sage, I cannot forget chimpanzees all the time in my dreams, in my imagination. I am just thinking how chimpanzees look like." He was continuously remembering about chimpanzee. So the sage said, "Just see that, I told you not to remember, but all the time you are remembering. You did not fulfill my promise." And he said, "One more." He said, "You sit here, now you do one thing. What is that? You simply only remember chimpanzee." And he tried, but his mind was going to so many places other than chimpanzee. Just like when we go to Mayapur, when we are going to Mayapur in the train, you find the stewala comes, kharab se kharab chai. He grabs the attention of people by speaking negative. People usually say, "Bahut acha chai hai," lekin he says always that kharab se kharab chai, and he sells more tea than anybody else. So the point is, the mind is so nasty that whenever you say, give some dictation to the mind, it will do exactly opposite. Just this student, he was told not to remember, but the mind tricked him. All the time he was remembering. When the mind was told, "Now you just remember," the mind was going everywhere else. That is the nature of the mind. One devotee, one book distributor, that was his experience. He was distributing books in Turkey. And he saw whenever he would go and approach people, talk about books, nobody would buy. Then he was thinking, what to do now? Then he used a trick. And he started, he would show the books, but anybody would come to me, he would not give them. No, don't buy. And he started screaming, "Don't buy my books, don't buy my books." And he started selling more books. Because that is the nature of people's mind. The nature of mind is that to rebel against the instruction. Whenever somebody is told, "Don't ever enter inside this room and give him the key," you'll see how much restless he becomes. The key is there in the hand and he's told not to enter inside the room, and 100% before you come back he will enter inside the room. But if you don't tell anything about that, he will not do anything. So that is the nature of mind. So therefore Prabhupada explains that remembrance means establishing concentration of our mind at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one is able to do that, that is called as proper remembrance. And Rupa Goswami explains, he quotes Vishnu Puran, "Prayanecha aprayanecha yan nama smartam nranam sadya nashyasti papagho namastasmai." He says, while living in this world or while about to give up one's body, if one is able to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then what happens? He is freed from all kinds of sinful activities and he will go back to the spiritual world. And Prabhupada says, actually, unless one is able to give up one sinful activity, one cannot remember Krishna at the time of death. It is not possible. One student used to come to our temple. He was studying medicine. And his father, he would talk to his father and he would say, "Look, chanting Hare Krishna is so important. That if I chant Hare Krishna at the time of death, depending upon your consciousness, you will either go to hell or Krishna's abode." He said, "Okay, that is the point." Now he opened the Bhagavad Gita, said, "Yes, Krishna says, Anta Kale Cha Mamem. Anyone who remembers Krishna at the time of death, he will go back to the spiritual world." He said, "That's easy. I'll have nice material life. And when I decide now enough of this enjoyment, I will take a gun and shoot myself while chanting Hare Krishna. So then what will happen? I will have nice material life and also I will have nice spiritual life." Somebody was asking this question to Prabhupada in a conversation, it is there. So Prabhupada, it can be mechanical also, one can try like that. Prabhupada said, "No. Unless you are freed from all kinds of sins, you cannot remember Krishna. It is not possible. And if somebody is a sinner, but if he is sincere, then Krishna might force his remembrance. That means that is a special mercy of the Lord, and that is what we are expecting. Yes, we know our remembrance is not so pure, but there is some sincere desire. And then at the time of death, Krishna has to force us to remember him. And that's what Krishna explains. We have discussed this many times. Ramanujacharya had this question in his mind.
What if I cannot remember Krishna at the time of death? Because Krishna says only one who remembers Krishna at the time of death, he will go back to the spiritual world. What if I cannot? He raised this question to his guru. And his guru Mahapurana or Kanchipurana had the ability or had the mercy of the Lord, he could directly converse to Varadaraj. He came to Varadaraj. He said, my dear Lord, your disciple has this question. He's asking this question, what if he cannot remember you at the time of death? Krishna said, don't worry, tell him that I will remember him. He said, if he cannot remember, I will remember my devotee. So when he practices Krishna consciousness with great struggle, even though not attaining that perfection, but if he continues till his last breath, then Krishna will come and he will make us remember his form, his qualities, his pastimes. We will stop here and continue in our next class. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.